The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Above all, that is a confession. It is not a proposition. It is a confession based on the way that God has acted in human history, in my history, and in your history. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us to quiet waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He goes before us so that goodness and mercy must follow. In this way, the Lord shepherds, and He shepherds this way because He is the Lord. Is there a truth more treasured by the Christian community? And we treasure this truth not simply for the beauty or the poetry, but because of its simplicity. How simple. If the Lord is my shepherd, I can lack nothing. Period. That's music to a sick man's ears. That's courage to a dying man's spirit. That's rest to a weary man's soul. These words are as fresh as the day they were written. Not the echo of the distant, dusty past, but the warm words of that living Savior who said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." One of the first songs I learned as a child was "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb." I still remember the kindergarten teacher in the front of the classroom mouthing the words with an exaggerated tempo. "I am Jesus' little..." Come on, boys and girls, sing. "Ever glad at heart I am." We teach those words to our children. Don't ever think of them, however, as childish. They are not childish. They are the essence of a childlike faith, a faith that embraces God as our good shepherd, a faith that recognizes that God is the one who faithfully and compassionately leads us through all the changes in our lives. And there are so many changes. Changes in age, changes in health, in wealth, in relationships, and even in location. This is the God who leads us faithfully through the peaks and the valleys and the ups and downs until at last we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. King David wrote Psalm 23, but this was likely not the younger David. This was not the David described in 1 Samuel 16 as ruddy and fine appearance and handsome features. This was not the David of whom the Israeli women sang and danced. "Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands." No, this was likely the older David, the wiser David, the David seasoned by many dark shadows and a veteran of many deep, deep valleys. Once a fugitive, once an adulterer, once a murderer, once a father grieved by the death of a child. I attended this campus student from 1968 to 1978. And honestly, those were among the happiest years of my life. Friends and family and learning and tour choir and basketball games. 10 years this campus was my home. And understandably, perhaps on the eve of my graduation from the seminary, I had mixed emotions. I was happy and sad and excited and worried. But most of all, I expected the prospect of a bright future. I had everything planned. I would leave campus. I would receive a call. I would be ordained. I would get married and have children. And as the storybooks all say, and he lived happily ever after. Not exactly what happened. In 1978, had anyone warned me of some of the problems I would encounter, I would have laughed at them. I would have said, "Yeah, right." In 1978, I could have written a sermon on Psalm 23. And using all of the resources of the seminary library, I could have accurately described God's good shepherding and the green, quiet pastures of the gospel. But the difference is, then I knew. And now, through all the years of God's faithfulness, I more fully know. In life, there is a head knowledge and a heart knowledge and a hurt knowledge. Head knowledge says, I know. Heart knowledge says, I believe. But hurt knowledge says, at last, I understand. And so it is in life that a deep, dark valley may become a different kind of seminary. And it is in our need that we actually learn to confess, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David was the king of Israel, but before he was king, he was a shepherd boy who tended the flocks of his father Jesse. And as a shepherd, he knew the importance of never forsaking the flock, of leading sheep to green pastures and quiet waters, of protecting the sheep from predators, of leading the sheep safely all the way home. And yet, as meaningful as all those activities were to David the shepherd, they were even more meaningful to David as one of the sheep, as one of us. See, when David wrote Psalm 23, he wasn't simply writing about sheep. He was writing about himself. He was writing about the faithful way that God had shepherded him through all the phases of his life, from youth to age, health and sickness, triumphs and tragedies. Indeed, as we look at this psalm, many of the verses almost reflect events in David's life. Let me give one example. Take that first verse, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For David, this was not a vain wish or an empty confession. He actually lived those words. Simply remember that epic battle between David and Goliath. Tell me something. Was there ever more of a mismatch in human history? A teenager with a slingshot and a pebble versus a 9-foot-tall giant whose armor alone weighed 125 pounds, which may have weighed more than David did. And yet, instead of running away from the giant, David ran toward the giant. And as he ran, he said this, "You come against me with sword and spear and shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, whom you defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." With God on his side, David lacked nothing. He had no reason to surrender or fear. Well, there are still giants in the world, aren't they? Maybe not named Goliath, but towering problems like marital troubles or financial troubles or addictions or loneliness or guilt. And yet, with the Lord as our shepherd, we too have nothing to fear. We have no need to surrender. We have all we need. Many of the beautiful images in Psalm 23 suggest all the blessings that come to us through Jesus Christ, that overrunning cup and the furnished table and so on. And yet, as we study Psalm 23, we begin to realize something, that all of the blessings outlined in that psalm actually stem from the first verse. It's because the Lord is our shepherd that we have all these things. The Lord, and that's a verb, by the way, in Hebrew, Yahweh. It means I am. And this is the one name of God, perhaps more than any other, that emphasizes the everlasting nature of his love and his faithfulness. He is the one shepherd who will never forget us. He is the one shepherd who will never forsake us. He is the one shepherd who will never stop loving us. He is the good shepherd. Why? Well, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. It is because the Lord is our shepherd that every one of us here today can leave saying, I shall not want. But do you understand the meaning of that? That means that there is no burden that is unbearable. There is no marriage that is irreconcilable. There is no godly goal that is unattainable. There is no ministry that is undoable. There is no sin that is unforgivable, so long as this Lord is our shepherd. I can think of no more fitting summary to Psalm 23 than those words I learned a long time ago. I am Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am, for my shepherd gently guides me, knows my needs, and well provides me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. Amen. Our hymn is 436, the first and the last stanza. 436, stanza 1 and 5.